I did not
see that.
I thought you said my nigga.
Oh.
I was like, what? So it was like a carrying this $1 bill around with me. Yeah.
Start off.
Woo! It'd be like reenactment of earlier today.
Yeah.
You'd feel this right here. Guess what that is? It's a tick.
What?
Okay.
You haven't
just
got it
joking.
Out. Oh, fuck, you didn't get it out.
That's
like
disgusting.
Really bad. You could get diseases. I hope you don't die.
And I just touched you.
This is good. Spread the phrase to me.
The thing is, I never sing when I smile. Jesus, hi.
Me too.
I'm like, I gotta go.
I have a rock in my shoe.
Do you want to see Jesus?
Is it
all? Hi. Do you want to see? Do you want to see?
Welcome everybody to our evening meeting this fine Tuesday night. We're gonna start singing now. Aren't you excited?
You wanna see Jesus lifted high, better than flies across this land. All who see the truth and know He is the way. We wanna see Jesus lifted high. We wanna see Jesus lifted high. Step by step we're moving forward, little by little we're taking the land. All my sins and powerful weapons, strong hold on, and I'm winning down and down and down. We wanna see Jesus lifted high. We wanna see Jesus lifted high.
Again. Wanna see Jesus lifted high, a banner that flies across this land. All who see the truth and know He is the way to heaven. We wanna see Jesus lifted high. We wanna see Jesus lifted high.
As we lift up our hands, we lead a step. As we call on your name, will you meet us here? We have come to this place to worship you, God of mercy and grace. It is you we adore. Have come to this place
worship you, God of mercy and grace. It is you we adore. It is you presents are for. Only you the heavens declare. It is you. It is you. Holy, holy is our God Almighty. Holy, holy is His name alone. And holy, holy is our God Almighty. And holy, holy is His name alone. As we lift up our hands, as we call on Your name, will You bless this place by Your mercy and grace? As we lift up our hands, as we call on Your name, will You visit this place by Your mercy and grace? It is You we adore. It is You praises are for. Only You God. Take my hands and make them clean. Keep my heart in purity, that I may walk in all you have for me. Whoa, here I stand, arms open wide. Oh, I am yours and you are mine. Take my moments and my days, let each breath that I take ever only for you, O God. Oh, here I stand, arms open wide.
You and thank you for the speaker that is here, and thank you that he can be with us and bless us with his words, and please be with him tonight and let him speak your words. Amen.
Good evening, good evening, good evening. Good evening, good evening, good evening. Did you guys have a good day? Yeah, good stuff. Well, hey, what did I tell you this morning about Pastor Stephen? He's an Iron Man, he is. But did you know that before he was an Iron Man, he was a spelunker? A spelunker. We don't know what spelunking is out here very much, do we? Caving. Yes, yes. Well, Pastor Stephen went to Walla Walla College for 1 year. 1 year. And then after that, he went down to Southern Adventist University. Woo-woo! Yeah. But let me tell you, down in Tennessee, there's tons and tons of these little limestone caves. You crawl into them, and you come out covered head to toe in mud. Actually, one of another alum from this wonderful institution, Lauren Hosted, and God be with his family, but he went to one of these caves one time, and he went in this tiny little hole, and I mean, he came out covered head to toe in mud. That's kind of what you do in Tennessee. But Stephen also went swimming in a cave one time from one entrance to the other. We won't tell you what he was wearing. He was wearing something, at least. But Stephen was a spelunker. I got lost with him in a cave called Grindstone there and near Southern. It was a lot of fun, though. But I'm sure that he has better words to share with you tonight than me, and that's why you are all being so quiet, because you don't want to listen to me anymore, do you? Hey, they like me. But they like you better. Get up here, Stephen. Come on, share with us again tonight.
Thank you, sir. Thank you, sir. I think I've probably sung that song 1,000 times, Amazing Love, but the irony of it struck me tonight as we sang. Amazing Love, how can it be that you, my King, would die for me? That doesn't make sense. That doesn't make sense. Tonight, you know what? Let's pray. Let's pray. God, if ever before we needed to have open hearts, perhaps it's tonight. Perhaps it's tonight to grapple with this reality that you as a king would serve us, that you as a king would die for us. Give us a glimpse of that in Jesus' name. Amen. One of the years that I spent working in Alaska at summer camp. And by the way, sidebar, if you ever have an opportunity to work at summer camp, do it. Do it. And one of the years, you know, you have to sort of work your way up at summer camp. And I started as a model rocketry instructor and sort of started there and didn't really want to stay there. And so I became a lifeguard so I could spend some more time out on the water, because that's really where I wanted to be at summer camp. And I remember one particular Sunday. It was the first day of the week. All the campers were all excited to be there, and they're all running around. Woo, so excited to be at camp. And one of the first things we do is give them a swimming test, a swimming test. And so we would bring each cabin by cabin, would come down to the dock, and we'd see how well they could swim. And depending on how well they could swim, they would receive an armband. Green means go. You can swim. Yellow means caution. You can swim with a life jacket. Red means you should probably take model rocketry class, because you're not going to be able to even look at the water because you can't swim at all. And so the kids would come, because we wanted them to be safe, well, of course. And so the kids came down to the water, and they were the little ones. Man, these were like the 7, 8, 9-year-old kids, and they're so excited to be there at camp. And we gave them each one of those sort of old school orange life jackets that come around the front and tie in the back. And we put each of them in a life jacket because we had no idea how well they'd swim. And we sort of wanted to figure it out. And we lined them all up along the edge of the dock. And they're feeling excited. They're feeling nervous. And I give them a countdown. I said, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. And all they were supposed to do is jump in, swim across to the other dock. And if they could swim, they could take off their life jacket and swim back. We'd give them a band. That's it. So 3, 2, one jump, and everyone jumped. Except one. She hesitated, looked at me, and I think had this little conversation in her mind, I'm going to have to take model rocketry. And she jumped. And she jumped in super slow motion. I don't know how she did it, but she did. And she jumped off the dock, and just as her feet started to break through the water, she panicked, and she spun around in midair, 8 years old, and she looked at me, and we made eye contact. Remember, it's super slow motion. All this all happened. And she looked at me, and she screamed, "Help! Help!" As she's going down to the water, "Help!" with her orange life jacket, "Help!" And I just watched the whole thing go down in super slow motion. And I looked, and a couple seconds went by, and then I thought, wait a minute. This is what I've been trained for. This very moment. This is why I'm a lifeguard. And in super slow motion, I reached down, and I grabbed her life jacket. She's 8 years old. She weighs about 25 pounds. And I picked her up out of the water and stood her on the dock next to me, and it was my one and only save I've ever made as a lifeguard. But it felt good. It felt good. Oh, bless her heart, the cutest little girl you've ever seen, knowing that desperately she needs help. She needs to be saved. Tonight, I suggest to you that the best place you can be in life is the place of that little 8-year-old girl, recognizing that you need help, recognizing that you need to be saved, because it is then that Jesus can break into your life. This morning, I made the case that all of us have this disease, capital S-I-N, sin. And we try all of these methods, these home remedies, to try to take care of that. But when we get to that place where we just reach out to Jesus and we say, "Help," that is when we realize the gospel. The gospel. By the way, gospel, I always want you to remember what this means. If anyone would ever ask you, what is the gospel? You'd, of course, say good news. And then they'd say, well, what is the good news? Well, the good news is the gospel. Well, of course. So let's make sure that we kind of break this down. Here's how I teach it back in Portland. And it goes like this. You're gonna have to repeat after me so you remember it. Because I don't get to quiz you guys. I get to quiz my students. I don't get to quiz you guys. So here we go. Gospel, here we go. Okay. G is for God. G is for? Okay, good, good. O is for offers. O is for? Okay. S is for sinful. S is for? Okay. P is for people. P is for? E is for eternal. E is for? Oh, you've taken it to that next level in school where you can predict what's happening. L is for life. L is for? Life, indeed. So next time someone asks you, what is the gospel? You will simply say, God offers sinful people eternal life. That is the gospel, and that is what we are talking about tonight. You know, art is a big deal to us in Portland. And so I asked one of my students to draw something for you. And I insisted she sign her name on it, and she just refused. She totally refused. Some of you know her, though. Ellen Bakira drew this. And I'm very proud of her for drawing this, so now you know. And this is one thing. This is one thing that is on every exam that I give. When you're a freshman, you see this on the exam. When you're a sophomore, you see it on your exams. When you're a junior, you'll see it on your exams. When you're a senior, you'll, of course, see it on your exams. Your final exam, you'll see it again, because I don't want anyone to leave PAA not knowing the gospel, not knowing the gospel. So I thought I'd just share it with you tonight because I think it's very important. And hopefully you will leave this place empowered, able to recreate this. Wouldn't that be amazing? Wouldn't that be amazing? So here we go. And it starts here, and it is simply this, that God created us for relationship. I noted that this evening. I walked over to Week of Prayer kind of early tonight, and as I stepped out of the cafeteria and made my way to the church, everywhere I turned, there's a couple over here talking in the grass. There's a couple over here sitting on a bench together. There's a couple over there not talking, just looking at each other. And I see that and I say, but of course, because God created us in His image, and God is a God of relationship. He's a God of relationship. And God's original plan was that He would be in face-to-face relationship with us. That He could actually look at us and we could look at Him, and He could reach out and touch us and we could reach out and touch Him. Can you imagine touching God? And if it were up to God, this is how it would be. We would only have that first square. And that would be the end of the story. I created you for relationship with me, face-to-face, intimate relationship where we can reach out and touch each other. We can talk. We can listen to each other. That was God's original plan. That was God's original plan. In fact, we find that. Look at that. Genesis chapters 1 through 3. God created us to be in relationship with Him. By the way, if this was a test so far, this student would have an A. Because this is God's original plan. We find it right there in Genesis 1 through 3. We see God listening, we see Him talking, we see Him walking with the original humans. He created us in relationship and for relationship. All right, we move on now to the second square. We call these the gospel squares, by the way. There it is. Here we see that something separated us from God. This face-to-face relationship we once enjoyed with God, we no longer have. Something happened, and that something is called sin. And Scripture tells us that sin separates us from God and causes death. In fact, Romans 6:23, for the wages of sin is death. Oh, you guys are good. You guys are good. Now, we need to do something here. Let's just do this. We'll actually have you stand to do this. If you work here on campus as a janitor, okay? So he's so proud. And you clean something, stand up for a second. Oh, that's so good. That's so strong. Good. Okay, you can sit down. Thank you. If you work here on campus as grounds or maintenance, would you stand? Oh, strong. Good. Thank you. All right, you can have a seat. The grass looks wonderful, by the way. If you work as an RA or work for one of the deans, would you stand for a moment? Oh, look at these responsible people. Whoa, there's a lot of you. Awesome. Okay, you can have a seat. If you work at Highmark. Highmark is in the house. Very good. Highmark's in the house. If you work for a teacher, you're sort of a student worker, and you don't know what your job description is. You make a lot of copies and do these kinds of things. Stand up. I want to see you. Oh, man. All right, you can have a seat. And if you work another job and you're feeling really awkward right now because you haven't gotten to stand up yet, you can stand up now. Oh, the cafeteria. Oh, how could I forget the cafeteria? But of course. Now, if it's the same as at PAA, you get paid, but you never really see the cash. Okay. So trust me, it still matters, but I want you to imagine with me, and this may be hard to imagine, but I want you to imagine for me for just a moment that every day when you're done working, you go to your boss, whomever that might be on campus, and they actually count out the money to you in cash, and they give you the money, and then you go home. And that happens every day, okay? Now, would it be fair to say that because of the work you've done, you've earned that cash. But of course. Well, maybe a couple of you. I don't know. We talked earlier. I remember you. But for the most part, right, if you've worked, of course, you've earned it. You've earned that money. Even if it goes on your school bill, you've earned it. I doubt you go to your boss at the end of the month and thank you so much for that gift you gave me on my school bill. That just meant so much to me. It's not a gift. You earned it. That's your job. We call those wages. Wages. And Scripture tells us that we too have earned wages, but instead of getting paid out with cash, our wages is death. Our wages is death. Okay, we continue. To the next one. Ah, there is good news. There is good news. I remember one particular evening. A really fairly normal evening, really. Myself and four other friends were seniors here on campus, and we were upstairs in the girls' chapel. No, downstairs. It's downstairs, isn't it, here? Yeah. We were in the girls' chapel, and I was there, and the four friends I was with were wearing women's clothing. And I remember this evening very, very specifically because at the end of the year, there was all this lost and found stuff in the dorm. And no one claimed it. And so the girls' dean came to us and she said, look, we're trying to raise some money for the girls' club on campus. Can you come and do an auction and a fashion show? And fortunately, I got to be the auctioneer. So I didn't have to partake in the fashion piece of it. But for an hour, it felt like forever, my friends paraded up on the stage wearing various lost and found items while I auctioned off those items to the highest bidder so they could earn money for their girls' club. And we got all the way done with the auction. And the dean came running up and she said, I have an idea. I'm super excited about it. And we said, okay, what is it? She said, come over here. It's a secret. So we all went in a corner. And she said, I just had this flash of brilliance. What if, to really crank up the funds that we earned tonight, what if we now have you, Stephen, auction off the dudes? And what we will do is if the girl is the highest bidder, we will actually take the girl and the guy whom she bought, and we will then drive them to the harvester. And we will, from the girls' club account, pay for their meal, and it will be like a date. And I said, absolutely. And so the guys came out, and here they came out, and they stood there. And I said, here we go, we're going to start at $1. $1. Hands were going up everywhere. 5, 10, 15, 25. And I remember one particular buddy. His name was Cameron. And Cameron's standing up there, and the bid is going higher and higher and higher. And pretty soon, it's out of reach for most people. They're looking around, and they're going, I just don't have that kind of cash. And it was like $50. And there were two people. There were two women that were bidding on Cameron. And they kept bidding up higher and higher and higher. It went so high, I'm surprised you don't have a new girl's dorm by now. It was crazy. It was crazy. But it went higher and higher and higher. And it was bizarre because it was between a girl who was one of his friends and a girl that he didn't really know really at all. She just kind of came out of nowhere in the back, just bidding, going crazy, just seizing the moment, seizing her opportunity. And it kept going back and forth, finally going once, going twice, going three times, sold to the girl in the back that he didn't really even know. And I'm going like, Cam, that was amazing. You don't really know her. He's like, I've never talked to her ever. But I'm kind of excited about it because she's And I was like, fantastic, let me know how it goes. So they went to the harvester, went on their little date. Would you believe it? I can't even make these stories up. I cannot make these stories up. It's true. They're now married. It's crazy. They are now married. They're so happy together. And their story started at an auction in the girls' dorm. Sold, sold, sold to the highest bidder. Sold to the highest bidder. If I were God, and it's good that I'm not, but if I were God and you had turned away from me and you had sinned and said, I don't want this relationship anymore, I'd say, fine, go. But God says, no, 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 no. I am dying to have this relationship back. I am dying to have this relationship back. I like to think of sin. I'm a very visual person. Okay, when I'm talking about things, I see them. When you guys are telling me stories, I can see them. I like to think of sin as gray jello. Okay, go with me here. As gray jello. And all of us have gray jello inside of us. If we could take an x-ray, like a sin x-ray, we would see that we're just full of this gray jello sin. And so Jesus comes along and he says, okay, my people have worked very hard to earn death. And they deserve it. They've worked for it. And Jesus comes along and he says, I'm going to take all of your gray jello. I'm going to take all of your gray jello, your gray jello, your gray jello. And I'm going to put it all on myself, all of it. And I am going to take the punishment. I am going to take the punishment. Because if you were being auctioned off to the highest bidder, Jesus would empty his bank account, but of course. But he'd take it a step further and say, your life is so valuable that I will die in your place. And when he took your gray jello, hear this, hear this, hear this. Because this kind of bothers some people to think about this. But he took your past sins, your present sins, and your future sins. That's a crazy thought. The sins you have not even sinned yet, he already died for. People get nervous because they think we're going to go all crazy if we hear that. We're like, woohoo, he's already died for it. We'll talk about that more later. But what you need to realize is he took past sin, present sin, future sin, and he died for it. Sold to the highest bidder. Sold to the highest bidder. The second part of Romans 6:23, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. One more square to go. You might look at this and say, it's over. I mean, that's all you need. The cross is there. We've got it. We can now get back to God. But there's one more thing. There's one more thing, because this is where you show up in the picture. You are here. What are you going to do about it? What are you going to do about it? One of the most surprising nights of my life ever. I took my wife on a really fancy date to the Red Robin, and we finished our meal. And the waitress came out, and I said, "Hey, we're ready for the check." And she came out, and she said, "Sir, someone else in the restaurant paid for your dinner." I was like, what? You know, okay, I'll just be real with you for a second. No, okay, because we had seen some people that we sort of knew, and we like waved across the restaurant. So it's now kind of dawning on me, no way. They just paid for our dinner. And this is terrible, I'll confess it to you. The very first thing I thought, we should have ordered drinks and a dessert. You know what I'm saying? Isn't that terrible? Isn't that terrible? Okay, but the very second thing I thought, was unbelievable. Unbelievable. Someone that I barely know will actually pick up my tab at a restaurant? Now, I had a choice, didn't I? I had a choice. I could have insisted. Listen, that's not going to happen. I'm a gentleman, and I pay for my dinners. We're paying. But sir, it's already been paid. No, you don't understand. We ate the food. We pay for the food. Take the credit card now. Are you kidding me? Are you kidding me? We were so grateful. We walked out with full stomachs, and we owed nothing. All we had to do was accept the fact that our dinner was paid for and that we didn't owe anything. This is one of the most difficult things to accept. One of the most difficult things to accept. Because Romans 10, chapter 10 and verse 9 says, if you confess with your mouth, Jesus is Lord. Now, not just that he's Lord, like, hey, your name's Lord. It's, no. You are my Lord. My Lord. I want you to be my Lord. If you confess with your mouth, Jesus is Lord, and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead. Scripture says, it's in Scripture. And if I had written the Bible, I would have made it a lot more difficult. Scripture says, you will be saved, starting right now. Yeah, that's the gospel. That's the good news. Because here's what I've noticed. So many of us who have grown up hearing this still don't know if we've got it. If I were to go to you and say, hey, if Jesus came back tonight in the middle of a wreck, would you go up or down? So many of us would be like, well, I'm pretty sure. And then we wonder, I mean, do you get excited about pretty sure? Like, do you get excited about telling your friends, like, hey, there's this really cool thing, you can be, like, pretty sure you're saved? And some of us sort of are still at this point where we're going through this part of life where we feel like, hey, I get up in the morning and pray, I'm saved. Ha, that's good. I sin, not saved. I say I'm sorry, saved. Oh, I sin again, not saved. Like Jesus is trying to bounce us in and out, in and out, in and out. Oh, it's a terrible way to live. I've done it. Instead, Jesus tonight says, if you invite me to be your Lord, I'm there. The question for you tonight, will you accept the fact that you have been accepted? Will you accept the fact that you have been accepted? Because you see, tonight I would make the case that the most important thing is to keep the most important thing the most important thing. And the most important thing is a Jesus who already accepts you. Will you accept the fact that you've been accepted? I'm going to pray with you now. And I'm going to pause in the middle of my prayer. When I met with the seniors in class, I told them I'm comfortable with silence. So we're going to have a little bit of silence. Is your opportunity to talk to Jesus tonight? So many other things on your mind. I know that. I understand that. But I don't believe there's anything more important than accepting this reality into your life, accepting this relationship into your life. So I'm just going to pause in the middle of that. If you want to silently pray to God, it doesn't have to be fancy words. But if you just want to say, yes, Jesus, tonight I want to cross from death to life. I want to accept that. I want to accept that. That's your opportunity to do that. Let's pray together. Father God, you treat us better than we deserve. Our debt is paid in full. Yet we continually live our lives as if we're trying to pay you back. So tonight, we give up. We give up trying to win your love because you have told us that you already love us with an everlasting love. God, I believe that your Holy Spirit wants to bring people, bring these students to your Son, Jesus Christ, tonight. And so at this time, I'm just going to pause, and this is your time. This is your time to talk to Jesus. This is your time to say yes to Jesus. We're going to invite you to end our prayer together, actually as a song. It's a prayer that's a song. It's both. So sing this with me now. Lord, prepare me to be a sanctuary, pure and holy, tried and true, with thanksgiving, I'll be a living sanctuary, Lord, for you. And everybody said, amen.